all the dirt, but then after that, it's, yeah, let's move on. I guess it's probably been a month ago now. It seems like just a few weeks ago, but a month or so ago, I had the honor, the privilege to take my folks down to East Texas. And I kind of shared some of that with you folks. They had a Smith family reunion. It was the first reunion, I believe, since 1980, 1981, somewhere in that time frame. So I met some cousins that I haven't seen since I was a teenager, and some I hadn't seen since I was like 14. But while I was down there, I don't know how many of you have ever been to East Texas, but you can just, they've got literally thousands of miles of just oil, what's called oil, dirt, clay roads, where they, years ago, they would go in and it was just clay or sand, and they'd come in with an oil truck. They would actually just put raw oil onto the roads, and then that would kind of make a real cheap asphalt material, and they're just all over the place. And all of our relatives, most of our relatives, as far as my grandparents, they grew up in some of those back roads. So I one day I went down to Nacogdoches and went down to just... we'd purchased a new motorhome, or not a new, but a used motorhome, and I went down back to the dealer and got some more information and such, trying to figure some things out. But as I was coming back, it was just such a beautiful day, and I was just kind of meandering through East Texas. I just turned on a road and just kept driving and kept driving, kind of knew the general direction that I was going to. And as I began to drive, I don't know how you guys do it as far as it goes, but I wasn't listening to any music, and we have a Jeep, and I had the partial top off the Jeep, so the sun was coming in. It was just a beautiful day, and I was just talking to God, and I said, Lord, you know, sometimes even as pastors, you know, we go through struggles. I mean, I'm not a perfect individual by any means, and we go through struggles, and you know, you have your own sets of struggles, and then you seek direction for this next year. I was thinking about, you know, next year and our theme for next year, and I was reviewing this past year, and I ended up at the old graveside of where a lot of our kin folks are buried, and it's just a beautiful cemetery. It's literally out in the middle of nowhere. You almost have to stumble across it if you were going to find it. And I sat there as the East Texas sun started waning in the western sky, and I was right there where my great-great-grandma and grandpa were buried, where my grandpa was buried, my great-grandparents, and just such a flood of emotions began to just come over me. And I just started to feel such a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost there. All of these folks gone on before, all filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I sat there and I began to think of that old song. I guess in some ways I love the new songs. I love the upbeat tempo of a lot of the new songs. But I began to hum out an old song. And I don't know if you, I'm not going to try to sing it for you here because I'll wreck the song. But have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. This morning I'd like to talk with you for a short time on when your brokenness becomes your breakthrough. When your brokenness becomes your breakthrough. I believe that God here in this next season, as we go into a new season at Calvary Gospel Church, God desires to promote people to a level of authority, a level of influence, and a level of power. And God wants us to know and understand not only how to break through to the next level, but we also must understand how do we sustain the increase that God gives to us. We sang the song this morning about breaking through to another level, and we've sang the song in the past just about, Lord, of the breakthrough and breaking into another level, but it's one thing to get to that next level, but it's a whole entirely different thing as to be able to sustain that next level. If there's one thing that I've learned about God, and that is that God, no matter what we are talking about, no matter what you are dealing with, God is a God of principles. He's a God of principles based upon His Word. He never varies those principles. He never gives shortcuts. I don't understand why He doesn't give shortcuts sometimes, but He never cuts us any slack. And what He demands from others, He's going to demand from me. And we must understand that the higher we grow in God as an individual, the higher we grow in God as a church, the greater the demands are, the greater the tests are. And God's tests transcend generations. Understand that all throughout the Old Testament, God tested His people. Before Abraham became the father of many nations, he and his wife Sarah were childless. Before Jacob could be blessed, he was wounded by an angel in an all-night wrestling match. And before Joseph, before he fled to Egypt, before he became second to Pharaoh, he was thrown into a pit and sold into slavery and lived a good portion of his life in an Egyptian prison. And before Job, and we all love the story of Job, before he reached his double portion at the end of his life, he lost everything he had. He lost his family, his fortune, and his future. But before Moses became the great deliverer of the nation of Israel, he lost his position in Egypt. He lost his possessions and his popularity. We look at Joshua. Before Joshua was able to conquer the promised land, he went through 40 years in the wilderness. And before Samson was able to crush the Philistines in his death, he was blinded and then binded, and then he grinded at a mill until his hair began to grow. And before David could become king, he was renounced by his family, ridiculed by his enemies, and rejected by his friends. We look at the Old Testament prophet Hosea. Before he became a powerful spokesman for God, his wife betrayed him and left him, which broke him. And before Peter was able to preach at Pentecost and 3,000 souls were added unto the kingdom, he denied his Savior three times and went out and wept bitterly. You see, before the great Apostle Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, was able to bring the gospel to the Gentile nations, he was blinded on the road to Damascus. So I feel today that by looking into the past, the principles that God has put in place are still at work in us today. But you see, sometimes what we don't understand and what we struggle with is sometimes God has to break us before He can remake us. The old prophet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, wrote in chapter 18 of his book, verse 4, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make it." You see, in this process, we've seen patriarchs of old and nations of old and saints in the New Testament. We have seen them tested, we have seen them broken, and we have seen them have their breakthroughs, breakthroughs to their promises, breakthroughs to their miracles, and breakthroughs to their victories. So standing here today, saints of God, why would God choose to do anything different right here, right now, in our generation? Every past person, every past generation, when they have submitted themselves totally unto God, in this process of total submission comes total brokenness. You see, God always, always, always follows the same pattern. When a nation or a people humble themselves and submit itself to the sovereign authority of an almighty God, they go in from brokenness into breakthrough to a higher level of power and authority. You wonder what is wrong in our country today. The problem is right here in this statement. We refuse to humble ourselves. We refuse to submit ourselves to a higher sovereign authority, and we have become broken, yet there is no breakthrough. With the authority comes faith, influence, and power. It's one thing to get a breakthrough, but it's another thing to keep your breakthrough. God desires to bring his people into a higher realm of authority. But one thing that we must be aware of is this higher realm, this higher authority, this level is not going to come without a fight. The enemy's not going to just lay down for you and play dead. In order for us to have a breakthrough, we must pass through a season or a time of contention. This summer, this fall, every pastor that I've spoken to, I was wondering what's going on here in some of the situations that we've had to deal with. And as I begin to make the phone calls across the state and across the country, every pastor that I talked to, I heard the same theme over and over again about opposition and contention. I believe that this is not something that is just a misstep or by chance, because I believe that God is desiring, God is pushing, God is prodding his church into a higher level of authority. We spoke of this last year, that we are in a process of passing through this level of that we are into, but we are in a valley of contention. The enemy is fighting, and he is fighting hard. I'm reminded of David, but before David, understand something about the story of David. Before David could receive his royal crown of authority, he had to face his giant. He had to first face Goliath. You see, understand, he had already been anointed king. He was already promised the throne. But before he could step into his destiny, into the next level of authority that God had in his life, he had to face Goliath. The increase and promotion was not going to come without a fight. And a lot of times we today, we want the increase. We want the promotion. We want God to say, lift me up, God, put me up. But God says, I can't do it until I have tested you. I can't do it until I have broken you. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 23 through 26, as they talk, behold, Goliath, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, came forth from the Philistine ranks and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him. They were terrified of him. And the Israelites said, have you seen this man who has come out? Surely he has come out to defy Israel. And the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free from taxes and service in Israel. Not a bad deal there. You get the king's daughter, and you don't have to pay taxes ever again. That's not a bad deal. And David said to the man standing by him, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You see, before you step into the next level God has for you, you will have to face your Goliath head on. You will have to face your Goliath head on. Your next level that God desires to take you to will not come without a fight. Understand this about your giant. your giant will stand out there just as Goliath stood out there and taunted the children of Israel. He stood out there for 40 days taunting the children of Israel. Your Goliath will taunt you. Who do you think that you are? You think your God has a destiny for you? You think God will ever use you? Do you think you will ever be free from the situation you are in? Do you think things will change in your situation? He will tell you things are never going to change. It's always going to be this way. You're coming and going around this mountain over and over again. You're nothing. Just give up and quit. That's what your giant is going to tell you. As we face and take down our Goliaths, we place ourselves in a position for the Lord for increase, a multiplication, and a fruitfulness. The church is in need of godly leadership and godly men and women at this hour to stand up and face their giants, but not just face them, destroy them. Out of true brokenness will emerge a fresh anointing that God will bring a great breakthrough in the lives of God's people. Wait on the Lord and allow Him to break you every area of battle in your life. Brokenness can bring us to a new dimension in God. Brokenness doesn't mean that you're down and you're out. Brokenness is a time where God can come in. He can break your will. He can break your spirit. He can break your pride. He can break your arrogance. He can break you. And instead of pride, you become humble before God. And when God is able to break you, He will raise you out of that broken ashes into something that is powerful, something that is designed to slay the giants that are in your life. In each of our lives, God has designed a process of growth and development. My giants are going to be different than your giants. My path is going to be different than your paths. I may have to fight things you don't have to fight, and you will fight things that I don't have to fight. But in the end, it's all brokenness before God, and brokenness symbolizes humility before the Almighty God. It symbolizes total surrender to His work and to His will. After all, God can't resist a broken spirit. He's attracted to it. He's drawn to it. That's what draws Him to us. When we fall on our faces and we fall in repentance and humility before God, God can't help Himself. When the broken and the repentant heart is confessing its sins before Him and is turning from wrong, God will turn and pay attention. James 4:6 tells us, but He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. This is the exact opposite of what our flesh wants to do. You see, the only way that we can be lifted up is we have to get down to get up. It doesn't make sense. I want to go higher and higher in God, not lower. And yet God is telling someone here today, trust me, He's telling you to stop trying to lean on your own understanding. Stop trying to figure everything out for yourself. God is reaching for someone today. He wants us to let go. He wants us to let go of our desires and trust Him for our provisions. God is willing to do great things for us, and He's waiting for us to get ourselves out of His way. You see, the potter is able to mend the broken vessel and use it for his own purpose and his own pleasure. But you see, if we never find that place of brokenness and submission to his will in our lives, we will never know breakthrough. I felt desperation in my spirit for us to know brokenness again. We started this year in a 21-day fast, and I felt such a powerful spirit of humility and brokenness, and we came out of that fast with such power and authority. And as the year has waned on, we have lost some of that. I will take the blame for that as your pastor. As we go into the next year, we're going into another 21-day fast at the beginning of January. When we come out of this fast, we are not going to let up all year long. We have got to keep pushing. We have got to keep pressing. We have to allow ourselves to be broken over and over and over again, because it is only through our brokenness, it is only through our brokenness that we will live a life of sustained breakthrough. You see, when brokenness is not just a good cry every now and then. Sometimes we think, I come down to the altar, I blow a few snot bubbles, and I wipe my nose and blow my nose, then that is good. That's brokenness. That's not brokenness. That's just blowing your nose. All right? Brokenness is when we reach a point where that we humble ourselves to God. We allow him from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet to break every will, break our spirit, break everything that needs to be broken so that his will can move in and become established in our lives to where we no longer control. But God is in control. You see, brokenness, when a spirit of brokenness moves through a church, brokenness will tear down and destroy gossip. Brokenness will cause any petty agendas to be put aside, because it's all about him and his will. Brokenness will put down petty quibbling. Brokenness will cause the young and the old to embrace one another. Brokenness will cause the established to make room for the new. Brokenness will take us beyond more tolerance into acceptance of one another, regardless of our differences. Brokenness will cause us to welcome the unique talents and gifts and ministries that God has granted to each and every one of us. Brokenness will keep us focused on Jesus Christ. As John the Baptist prayed, it must be our prayer. We must decrease and he must increase. We've got to decrease in our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to increase, and brokenness will bring us a new sense of humility. Brokenness will bring a breakthrough. And when the saints of God break through, then God is glorified. God is lifted up and draws all men unto him, and unity prevails. The chains of bondage fall off in a service. The people can come and worship God unfettered. The new normal will begin to prevail in all aspects of our ministries. It won't matter who's up here preaching. It won't matter who's singing. It won't matter who's leading. It doesn't matter. Get used to it, because God, it's all for the glory of God. Anyway, I feel that God is ready to do greater works in us than we have ever seen. Just the broken travailing of a church, just the broken travailing spirit in a church, and a church that falls on their faces before an almighty God and pleads with him for revival in their own personal lives. And as that revival begins to take place in our own personal lives, it flows into the lives of others, and before it we know, we've gone from a breakthrough, a brokenness, into a breakthrough. We will be the ones to listen to the struggles of the people that come down to the altars. Sometimes we're so fast, we want to get them prayed through to the Holy Ghost. Just get them prayed through. You don't have to hear what they've got to say. Pray them through. Listen to what they have to say. Let them spill out that brokenness that they feel inside. Let them spill that out. Let them fall on their faces in repentance. Sometimes we short circuit. We're so fast past repentance. We want people to have a good old-fashioned repentant time at the altar where they are thoroughly broken before God, so when he begins to put them back together, he can put them back together in such a beautiful, perfect shape and form. I believe that God is giving us the key to breakthrough in our lives and in our church. Understand, as we move to a higher realm of authority, we need to understand that a sustainable anointing and mantle is not possible without continued testing and trial. It is not possible if we resist God and refuse to allow God to break us without brokenness, testings and trials. Anointing without testing is not something that is sustainable. If we want to continue the anointing and the flow of the Holy Ghost through this place and through our lives, it will not come without continual testing. Sometimes we think, God, you just test me once, and that's good. That's enough. I don't have to take another test. How many of you went through kindergarten all the way to 12th grade and only took one test? I had teachers that every Friday we had a quiz. Every Friday they had a quiz. You don't just go through life with one test and then it's all over. And we have to understand, we have to get this concept, this principle inside of us. As God takes us to higher levels, it's a higher level of testing. When you're in 12th grade English, the teacher doesn't come in there and lay down on your test or lay down on your desk, write the ABCs in the correct order. You're not going to get that in a 12th grade classroom. Why? You've already passed that test all the way back in kindergarten. You're going to get a much more difficult test. And we have to be willing to understand that. God doesn't just want to give us a temporary anointing or a temporary momentary breakthrough. He wants us to be able to sustain that breakthrough. This is what happens so many times. We struggle and we struggle and we struggle, and we come down to the altar. We have a breakthrough. We go home, and over the course of the next week, the next month, we slip, we slip, we slip, we slip, and we end up right back just a notch or two before where we started. Why does that continually happen to us? Because we're not able to withstand or sustain the breakthrough that God gave us. Why? Because we don't want God to test us anymore. God, you gave me enough already. How much more do I have to take? I was asking God that in East Texas. How much more, God, do we have to deal with? God says, how much more anointing and how much more breakthrough do you want? If you're happy with where you're at, then you can stay there. But if you want more, there's going to be more tests that come. This is part of the process. Understand, Abraham laid his only son on the altar to slay him. It was a test, but it was not his only test. You see, before promotion, before God will bring us into another level, we must walk through a season of contention or a season of conflict. We must contend with our giants and gain victory over them before the anointing is released to manifest itself in a greater measure of authority. Did you understand what I just said? Let's look at David and how God tested him in his life in 1 Samuel 17, 36 through 39, paraphrasing this. He's killed a lion, he killed a bear, and now he's killed a Philistine, for this was one of the enemies of the armies of God. And David says, the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And he's talking with Saul here. And Saul says, take my armor and go out there and fight him. And David attempted to put on the armor. And we've heard all of these stories of him attempting to put on the armor and all of this and the bronze helmet and clothed him with a coat of mail and a sword and all of this. And David stopped and said, wait a minute, Saul, this isn't for me. Realize what's happening here. He says, I cannot go with these, for I am not used to them. I have not proved them. And he took them off. And one thing that God has showed me, one thing is God anoints what's been tested in our lives. If you haven't been tested, you won't get anointed in that area of your life. If you want more testing, you will get more anointing. But one doesn't come without the other. If we refuse to allow God to test us, to break us, if we refuse to allow this, we will never receive the power and the anointing that we need to maintain the level of warfare that God wants us to be in. You see, understand, God anointed David's slingshot. Did you just get that? God anointed his slingshot. God didn't anoint the armor. David couldn't win the battle in Saul's armor. It hadn't been tested in his life. David wrestled the lion. He wrestled the bear. He used a slingshot and a stone out in the wilderness. God anointed in his life what had been tested in his life. If you complain about getting tested about things in your life, you will never get the anointing that you need to deal with that situation at that level in your life. Smaller battles. We all want to sometimes start out with the giant. David didn't start out with Goliath. We all sometimes, the smaller battles that we have, they make us skillful in winning larger battles. The area of our greatest testings are about to become the area of our greatest anointments, as anointing and the very assignments the adversary has had against you, had against your life, and against your family are going to be turned around against him. Understand, some of you have been fighting some battles for a very long time, and I want to tell you, I want you to stand strong. I want you to stand strong. Allow God to break you. Allow God to humble you. Because out of that brokenness and that humility, there's going to come an anointing. And out of that anointing, there is going to come a power and authority that you have never experienced in all of your life. And it will propel you into your next level that God desires to use you in. You see, not all of us are going to have the equal power and authority and anointing, because we're not all going through the same level of testing at the same time. You see, we look back at Isaac. We don't talk much about Isaac. He was Abraham's son. You know, he was strapped to an altar. You know, that's about all that we really talk about him. But when he went into the land of his inheritance in Genesis chapter 26, we see that this land, as it started out, the Bible describes it in this chapter as a very barren land. Doesn't have a whole lot there. What did he do? It was his promised land. It was what was promised to him as an inheritance. God has promised us an inheritance. He has promised us. Our land may be barren, but he planted and he sowed seed in the land, and he became very prosperous and very fruitful in that land. And God accelerated his harvest. I think that if God will do that for Isaac, he will do that for you and I. God accelerated his harvest, and in the same year he reaped 100-fold. But God still had more increase for Isaac. You see, the Philistines, they've been the nemesis of the Israelites for centuries. The Philistines envied him, and they began to go around and bury the wells that Abraham, his father, had dug. In order for Isaac to break through to a higher level of fruitfulness in his inheritance, he had to contend with the giants in his life, the Philistines again. As he dug wells, the first one was called Esek, meaning contention, meaning that this well was dug in a spirit of conflict. The next well was Sitna, meaning enmity. And the third well was Rehoboth, meaning room. As Isaac persevered and endured, God made room for him to be fruitful in the land that he was in. But you see, the fourth, water. What do most of us do? We become frustrated and we stop. The key to his success, the key to his faithfulness and his fruitfulness was his endurance. He wouldn't give up. That's really all he did, was go around and unplug the wells that his father had dug. But God will endure through the season of contention, through the season of struggles, through the season of trials that you and I may be in today. God will make room for us and will cause us to be fruitful in our land of inheritance. God is a principled God. You see, we are in a time where many of us are facing their Goliaths. There's a time of in our world today of great spiritual pressure, great resistance. You see, depending upon what we do in this battle, I told this church back in September, I felt that there was a changing of the seasons coming. I still feel that very strong in my spirit. What we do right now in this battle, what we do right now today in this battle will determine what happens in our next season. Either we will sustain what God has given us and we will experience an increase, or we could lose what has been entrusted to us. This is usually when people become frustrated and they give up. Right on the edge of moving to the next level, when we grow tired and we grow weary. As long as we refuse to give up, God will make sure that we get to our next level of inheritance. God will make sure that you get to that next level of breakthrough. So, church, when we have spiritual contention in our lives, and this is what was such, I don't want to say a relief, but as I talk to so many other pastors, I believe that the level of contention that we're going through and that many of us are going through, it means that we, church, are on the verge of a breakthrough of massive proportions. You see, but we have to make the right choices. We have to pray through to victory. Let me further explain something here. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. Worldly brokenness and godly brokenness. Sometimes we run into this. We say, well, Pastor, I'm having all kinds of struggles. Okay? Is it God that's causing your struggles? Are you struggling with God? Are you struggling with situations in the world? Let's look at the difference between this. Look at a moment at Israel's first king, King Saul. Saul's heart had become filled with anger, insecurity, and jealousy. He had hate, murder, rebellion. He became afraid of men. And the Bible said he was full of witchcraft. When King Saul sinned and was confronted of his sin, in 1 Samuel 15:30, He clearly acknowledged the fact that I have sinned. Okay? We do this a lot. We get caught. We understand we're caught. We say, I have sinned. But watch what happens next. Immediately following the statement, he says, yet honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel. So he's saying, I sinned. I know I've sinned. You caught me sinning. You saw me sinning. But I'm still king. Honor me. Honor me before all the people and before Israel. You see, Saul was more concerned about his reputation before the people than he was about God grieving and about grieving God and losing the Holy Spirit from his life. Oh, he had sorrow. He had a carnal sorrow. He was sorry for himself, and that was as far as it went. A worldly sorrow will be sorry about being caught and having the consequences of being caught, but that's not the same as true godly sorrow. Now, when we look at godly sorrow, we don't have to look but at the very next king, at David. David had committed some bad sins. I personally think some of the sins that David had committed were probably far worse than what Saul had done. You see, David, he wasn't perfect. His sins included murder, adultery, but God still calls him a man after God's own heart. Why is that? It was not because of his perfection, but it was because of the depth of his godly sorrow and repentance. David's main concern was not his reputation. David's main concern was that he grieved the heart of God, and he pours himself out in the 51st Psalm about, God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. God, I sinned. I can't live without you, God. You can take everything away, God. Take away my kingdom. Take away family. Take away my children. Take away all my wealth, everything I have, God. But don't take your Holy Spirit from me. That's the difference between Saul and David, between a carnal sorrow and godly sorrow. David's main concern was grieving the heart of God. This was the difference between Saul and David. One only cared about reputation and honor before men, and David, the other, cared about God's heart and God's presence. The reason Saul lost his mantle of anointing was because his heart grew calloused and he lacked godly sorrow. He refused to allow God to break him through into repentance. You see, David still had consequences for his sin. Sin still has consequences. You can repent of your sins. You can be thoroughly broken by the power and the Spirit of the Almighty God, yet there can still be consequences for previous actions. You see, but the reason that David was able to keep the anointing and the mantle on his life because of the depth of his level of brokenness. You see, we have to have the heart of David, church. Godly brokenness is what will sustain both leaders, saints. It's what will sustain this church in this hour. You see, we're having to face giants that we've never had to face. You see, God is seeking to promote. God is seeking to transform us into a deeper level of kingdom authority. With testing always comes the possibility for promotion. But listen, promotion when I say promotion, understand how I'm using this, always depends on what we do with the test that God has given us. If we don't pass the test, God won't move us up to the next level. It all depends on you and I. As our musicians can come, if you could stand to your feet. In closing today, I want to end with this one thought. We would have to honestly say here this morning that there's not much of a comparison and value between that of a diamond and that of a kernel of corn. If I were to lay before you a 1-carat diamond, and you would look at that 1-carat diamond and you would say, that's worth $6,000, $10,000. I laid 1 kernel of corn up here. What is that 1 kernel of corn worth? You see, all of it depends on the disposition. All of it depends upon your interpretation of the corn. Think about this. You put them both away. You take that diamond and you take that kernel of corn and you put them both away. Put them in a safe. And you take them out 100 years from now. That kernel of corn is still going to be practically worthless. The diamond, it'll have a higher value. Maybe a few $100s, maybe a few $1,000s. But you take that and put it in a safe box again, and you keep it in there for 1,000 years. And at the end of 1,000 years, you take it out, and you still have that diamond and that 1 kernel of corn. But suppose, let's say, instead of taking that 1 kernel of corn, you took that 1 grain of corn and you put it into the ground. And you planted it. And you watered it. John 12:24 says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. You see, God has given each and every one of us talents, abilities, and gifts. You see, what God has given you may seem to be something that's of small in value to you. But you see, in order for you to experience a great harvest, we have to die to ourselves. Now you take that 1 kernel of corn, brother, and you plant it. And in its brokenness, as it begins to break apart in the soil, life springs out. In its death, life springs out. Now you take 100 years later, you take all of the corn combined that came from that 1 kernel of corn. You take 1,000 years later, all the corn that could come from that 1 kernel of corn. You see, the diamond now seems very small in comparison to the value of the brokenness of the corn. You see, we get a different perspective when we realize that the same thing that is breaking us down is the very same thing that will allow us to break through. You see, it's in your brokenness. and send death to old man, death to our flesh, that new life will spring forth. You see, brokenness always brings a breakthrough. God has called us, church, into a realm of great things. But before we can come to this place, we need to fall broken in His presence. So as our praise team sings this morning, if it's been some time since you've allowed God to break you, why don't you come down to this altar this morning? God's not seeking to destroy you. Understand. Healing comes through your brokenness. God's not seeking to destroy. God's seeking to revive. So as our altar team comes, won't you come this morning?